If you'd like to follow along with me, we're going to be taking a look at the following texts. You may wish to just write them down as well and make them a part of your study for this next week. Let's see here. Oops. Okay. So if you want to go back to the beginning slide, I'll just trust that you'll place it up there and then we'll continue. This morning, I'd like to take a look at the compassion of Jesus. All of these texts right here that are listed are passages in the Gospels where it says he had compassion on them. And if you take a look at these passages, you'll see at a deeper level Jesus' heart for people. He has a remarkable heart for people. It wasn't just that he cared for people in general. He cared for people, I think, specifically. I think people sensed that he cared for them and cared about what distressed or concerned them as well. And this is with the idea, along with our outreach team, of becoming a people with compassion like Christ. I want to thank the outreach team for all that they do. You could see that there's a number of ways that we as Cherry Grove Friends can tie into ministry here in our community. There are many of you who are also involved in things outside those listed ministries as individuals. And I want to thank you and encourage you just to say thank you for being involved in the lives of people in very concrete and caring ways. The thing that I'd like to focus on first is this idea. Jesus' compassion shows his heart for people, a kind of caring that helps us notice and respond to others. And that's how we'll begin. In this passage, you'll see how people were brought to Jesus, people flocked to Jesus out of need, and he responded to their needs. Time and again in the Gospels, we see this happen. Great crowds of people showed up, and he was compassionate toward them. Let's take, for example, this first picture. The first picture over on the left is a picture of the Sermon on the Mount. People went to Jesus because they were spiritually hungry and they weren't getting answers to their questions met in the traditional ways. They sensed that there was something different about Jesus, not only about what he taught, not only with the authority that he taught, but the fact that when he spoke, somehow something resonated with them inside their inner being, that there is something here that I haven't seen or experienced in my life before in the person of Jesus Christ. So there's a picture of the Sermon on the Mount, and a picture up on the far right. There's a story about being on the road to Jericho, and two blind men came up to Jesus, and Jesus was walking along the way, and these blind men who were sitting in the wayside began to holler and yell. And it disturbed people that they were hollering and yelling. They were interrupting the entourage. They were interrupting the walk that was going on, and they tried to silence these two people. And these two blind men, hearing that it was Jesus, yelled even louder and louder and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And it says in the text, he had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and they were healed. The next story over here is about a leper that came to Jesus. And again, the same words are used. It says he had compassion on him. Now, please, don't just get caught up in the words. Please enter into the story. Imagine being blind and all the limitations that would place on you in that day and age. How to be gainfully employed was almost impossible. The reason that they were sitting alongside the road is probably because they were begging. That was the only way to have any kind of food for their day. For this person who was a leper, that he even approached Jesus is amazing. He overcame the social stigma of getting close to people to even come to Jesus for healing. But imagine being ravaged by the effects of leprosy, of having appendages damaged because there's no feeling there anymore, burns, sores that won't heal, flesh that changes, being ostracized socially by people. All of those things go into this story when it says he had compassion on him. This is a wonderful word, the word compassion. It means, it starts right here in the center of us, and it means to be moved within, deep within. It's centered right here. That when you see something, you're moved right here. You've seen that. You've experienced that before, haven't you? You've been so moved by something, you actually have this sensation within, and sometimes it can go from just simply a fluttery feeling to a deep ache, or even being sick at your stomach. This is the kind of, he was moved with compassion for these kinds of people going through this. Other stories include the group of people after there's these stories where Jesus is teaching the people, because they are spiritually hungry, teaching them out on the hillsides, and they go out and they spend time with Jesus. And one gospel talks about them staying out there for 3 days. Jesus notes, they've been with me for 3 days. So they've been out there a long time. It's getting toward dark. People are hungry. And Jesus responds to them. We'll look a little bit closer at that story, but I just want to recount this story. Keep this in mind. This is one of those occasions where it says he had compassion on them because he knew they were hungry. Another story that where he had compassion was the story of this young man on the far right corner. Is a young man who was brought by his father to see Jesus. It happened, the occasion was, there was a group of Pharisees and people of the law in an argument with the disciples of Jesus. Jesus was at some distance from what was going on. And this great argument arose. Jesus walked into the argument, and the issue was over the fact that his disciples had been unable to cast out a demon that had oppressed this young man. And Jesus began to talk with the father, and he said to the father, how long has he been this way? And he said, from a child. Now again, walk into the story a little bit. You have a child. Notice, as soon as he's a toddler, maybe, something's wrong. Something's terribly wrong. He has these convulsions, these fits. We have to keep an eye on him all the time because we're afraid when he has a convulsion or a fit, he'll fall into the fire and be burned. This happens all his life. He's seen his child be oppressed all his life, and now he's a young man. It says that the father came to him, and he's begging Jesus with these words, have compassion. It's the same word, have compassion on us. I think Jesus saw both what it was like for the father, and he certainly could see what it was like for the son. And he walked up to the son, and he cast this demon out, and the son was whole, made whole. Another story is that Jesus was walking along one day, and there was a funeral procession going on. A widow whose only son had just passed away. Now, when you think about that, you think a widow in that day whose only son, who would be able to take care of her, has just passed away. This could be in the not very far future, something that would mean either extreme hardship for her, or that she eventually might lose the ability to provide for herself. Children, adult children, often took care of their children or their parents in on into their old age. And now she's heartbroken. That's not going to happen. He's gone. And Jesus, we're told, had compassion on her, and he walked up to the coffin and laid his hands on the coffin and on the people who were carrying it, and this young man sat up alive. A son was restored to this grieving mother. These are some of the examples of the text where you hear the words, and he had compassion on them. You see Jesus responding to people. In the case back here with the group that were hungry, had been around for 3 days. It was so interesting to notice the difference between the disciples' response to what was going on and what was going on in Jesus. If you wanted to look at Mark chapter 6, you could look at verses 30 and 31. There, after a long time of ministry, after the disciples had been sent out by Jesus to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick, they came back together, and everybody was beat. They were tired. And still, all these people are showing up. Jesus says to them, "Come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Again, this event took place when they were returning from this little short-term mission trip. Jesus had sent them out two by two to heal the sick, cast out demons, proclaim the good news of the kingdom. And apparently, it had been both successful and exhausting. In fact, it had been so successful that people kept coming back. They wanted more. Jesus knew how hungry and tired his disciples were, so he hustled them into a boat, attempting to escape the crowd. They went around a little bit around the lake, but the crowd followed. They followed along, spreading the news that Jesus was going in that direction. And by the time they finally beached the boat, there were about 5,000 men along with women and children who showed up. The disciples' hearts must have sunk because here they are. We can't get away from the people. And yet, in verse 34, it says, "When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd." It turns out that sheep without a shepherd are kind of a pathetic group. Think about it. Sheep without a shepherd are lost. They don't know where to find pasture. They don't know where to find water. They don't know whether to stay put or to move on. They can't defend themselves. Sheep without a shepherd are vulnerable. So it's kind of an unsettling picture that he has here. When he uses this analogy, he saw them, he had compassion on them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. A flock of sheep without a shepherd could be as odd as a bus full of children without a driver, a football team without a quarterback, a third grade classroom without a teacher. Not a good thing. Seeing sheep without a shepherd would be as distressing as seeing, when we think about global missions, a village without water, AIDS orphans without parents, hospitals without medicine, all things that we saw in Malawi, teenagers with no role models. The sight is unsettling as Jesus looks on the group with compassion. Literally, as I mentioned, his insides went out to them. The disciples, on the other hand, had a very different reaction. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place." Notice what they notice, when they notice it, and what they wanted to do about it. It's late. This is a remote place, they said. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villagers and buy something to eat. Now, the disciples were looking at the very same crowd that Jesus was, but they didn't see what Jesus saw. Jesus saw a group of people like sheep without a shepherd. All the disciples saw was a crowd who were hungry as wolves. Compassion fatigue is what they call it today. That's what they were going through. They'd been on the road for days, maybe even weeks, giving themselves in ministry to people, and they felt like they had nothing left to give. And there are times when we know that what that feels like, when you feel like you have nothing left to give except meet your own needs, to care for the people you're responsible for. We know how it feels to be worn out, burnt out, with nothing left to give. The disciples knew there was a problem, but they didn't see any solutions except for to send the people off in a way. That's when Jesus decided to kind of wreck their day. It's so interesting what he says. Now Jesus, let's take a look at what he noticed. It's evening, it's at the end of 3 days, and the crowds were both tired and worn. He noticed them, that they were hungry, and he had concern for them. He wanted to do something about it. That's made up of two things. What he didn't want, one gospel says, when he's talked to the disciples, he says, I do not want to send them away. Sometimes we get in touch with our compassion by getting in touch with what we don't want. I do not want to send them away. And then he says another thing to them. You give them something to eat. It had to have been a stunning drop your jaw kind of moment. You give them something to eat. Well, there were great protests that went up. We don't have enough to feed all these people. Why, it'd be nearly a year's salary to feed all these people. And then Jesus asked this amazing question. Well, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. He knew they didn't have much, but look around, find out what's here. And we told the story, you know, that there were loaves and fish, a few that they were able to find. Here we are. He's asking them to figure out what they do have, to take a look at what they do have, not what they don't have. Here we are back to the story. How does Jesus respond? He responds with what he has, what he has at hand. In the case of these few loaves and fishes, he blesses them and they are multiplied and he hands them out. In one text where it talks about him feeding the crowds, it says he looked on them, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And then it firstly says, and he began to teach them. So we don't want to miss that. He was dispensing life-giving truth at the same time that he was bent on providing for their physical needs. This is a wonderful wed of both things, the response to the spiritual, to the emotional, intellectual, and also to the physical needs of people. I appreciate the outreach team's holistic emphasis on that. That's what Jesus did. He responded to them in the same way with these other stories. So if you looked at it like this, you could say Jesus responds to them. He responds to the distraught. He asks them, what do you have? And they gathered what they have. We tend I think, sometimes to focus on what we don't have. In this, I tried to collect from all of those passages where it says he had compassion on them. I tried to collect and write down what it was that called out compassion in Jesus. Because he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, they were harassed, helpless, sick in body and mind, diseased, hungry, spiritually thirsty, blind, crippled, mute, distressed, disadvantaged, disabled, lame, leprous, socially alienated, ignorant, embarrassed, grief-stricken, at wit's end, doubting, oppressed, abused, discouraged, distraught, ashamed, tempted, and even dead. This is the human condition. These are the needs we find in our world today. They don't escape us either. The interesting thing is that Jesus points us on into something else, discerning what it is that we do have. And in this next spot, we look at compassion and how it is a discerning insight into need and our potential. Compassion doesn't mean we do everything. Compassion may mean, however, that we take stock of needs that we see and what we have at hand and what it is that we believe Christ is leading us to do or to say. Jesus could see what was needed and what he could do about it, and he gave it. In some cases, he had a unique capacity not only to give truth, lay his hands on people and divine energy flow through his being into people and they were made whole. It doesn't mean that that gift doesn't exist today. I think it does still exist today. Some people may be called to do it, but not everybody has that particular gift. I think what's important about the story is to ask yourself, what is in your hand? What do you have? What capacities or potential has Christ given you? Jesus wanted his disciples to see what was needed and what could be done about it as well, and so he involves them as well. And he wants you and me to see the same. He asked this penetrating question, what do you have? We continue often to focus on what we don't have. We don't have money, we don't have training, we don't have, well, I don't have the gift of mercy. I don't have an outgoing personality. We're like one person said, a bunch of first graders, when the teacher asked, how many of you brought their lunch today? They raise their hands and say, not me. It's what we don't have. Jesus isn't interested in what we don't have. All he asks of us is what we do have. He's not asking you and me, if we have 40 hours a week to serve people, or 20 hours, or 10, he's just asking sometimes if we have an evening or an afternoon to invite somebody over or to go see someone, an hour to visit someone in the hospital, a few minutes to call someone who's lonely. He doesn't ask us to give thousands of dollars to the poor and needy. He could be asking us to maybe skip fast food one night and drop off some groceries for someone with what we save. Jesus isn't asking us to give what we don't have. He's simply asking us to look again and see what it is that we have. Now, the next thought is this. Compassion is a concerned determination that propels us into action. Look what happens with the disciples. They think they have nothing, but when they look again, they discover 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's the ancient equivalent of a bologna sandwich and a couple of bags of chips, something like that. A ridiculously small amount in the face of such need. But he takes them up, these 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up into heaven, Jesus gives thanks and breaks the loaves and begins passing things out. It's divided among all of them. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken bread and fish. It's amazing. It's not only enough, it's more than enough. I thought it interesting, I'd never had it pointed out to me, the connection between the 12 baskets and the 12 disciples who were there. Everyone probably got to carry one. It was their personal reminder that Jesus can do something with the little that I have. He had compassion on them. He took care of it. He responded. He gave them something to eat. It wasn't an unreasonable demand that he made of them. He just simply pointed them in the right direction. And they got to participate in something wonderful. So we see in this example the resolve to do what Jesus asks us. They simply acknowledged what he said and obeyed. And they saw a miracle happen. Theirs should also be a resolve to trust Jesus for what lacks, for what we notice we lack. The only explanation for what happened on that day was that there was a miracle. The same kind of miracle that can happen whenever we give him whatever it is that we have and ask him to bless it, and to bless it in whatever ways that he deems fit. It may not be this physical, dramatic demonstration of the power of God in the multiplying of literal food. It may be the effect that it has on the inside of a person. It may be how a person is drawn toward Christ in a remarkable and dramatic way, but no less a miracle that he wants to perform if we'll just be willing and available. And there also needs to be a resolve within us to learn from Jesus' example. Whenever you come to a miracle story in the Gospels, it's always helpful to ask, why is it here? We know that Jesus never wasted his actions or words. He was deliberate and purposeful in what he did. I would think that these stories are here at least to help us know more about Jesus' compassion, that he actually cared for people. And it sets an example for us. I think it's here because we need to know that he wanted to bless people. He performed this miracle for people who weren't necessarily starving. They could have done what the disciples were recommending. They could have gone back in to the countryside. They could have gone home. But he wanted to bless people. To bless them with an act of kindness, of beauty, of grace. And there are times when he'll want to interrupt the normal flow of our lives and use us so that we can bless someone else through kindness. Kind words and deeds. Jesus blessed people. And I think he also wanted to bless these disciples and involve them to catch them up in what he was doing. So you see here again in these stories the resolve to learn from Jesus' example. And you see in Jesus' stories a concern that propelled him into action. In each case, he was propelled into action, some kind of response to people. Let's read again. I tried to collect from all of these stories again what his compassion caused him to do. And so let's take a look. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things, life-giving truth, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Unwilling for people to be sent away famished and out of concern that they might collapse on the way, he fed them until they were full and even had leftovers. Touching them, the blind see, lepers are cured, the lame walk, crippled limbs move, mutes speak, outcasts take places of honor among their peers as whole persons, seekers find a trustworthy Savior, A desperate father's tormented child is set free. The only son of a destitute widow is given back to her from the dead. The compassion of Christ caused him to respond to need, and this is what happened as a result of it. He had compassion on those who were like sheep without a shepherd. What is in your hand? I would like you to just find something close to you and pick something up that you think is useful to you in some way. Would you just find something near you and pick it up? Something that's useful to you. Okay, I want you to just open your hand up and just take a look at that. Think, what is in my hand? What is in my hand? How is it useful to you? Is there any way what is in your hand could be useful to someone else? Could be used of God to help someone else out? It's fascinating, isn't it? What's in your hand immediately could be used in some way. Could maybe in some way that God could use. I think some of the most creative ideas for reaching out to others have been discovered by people who have noticed what is in their hands or within their ability to grasp something. That's the reason for the picture. Picking up what's at hand can often help you think about, well, how could this be used by God? In what ways could this be used to help those who are in need in my life? What is it? What is in your hand? It may help you to sit down this afternoon and think about some of the things that you might have at hand that could bless other people. It might make a fun family discussion. What is it that we have? Or what do we see that represents some need that we could respond to in this next week? What is it in our lives that we think maybe Jesus sees and feels concerned for that he could maybe want us to respond to? What is in your hand? Now, if you're feeling a little uncomfortable with all this, with this idea, remember the disciples on the hillside of Galilee who were first asked the question about what do you have? Those loaves and fishes. Like them, we could come up with reasons for why we couldn't do something. Again, we don't have time. We don't have the money. We don't have that kind of personality. Remember, Jesus isn't interested in what we don't have. It's what's at hand. I'd like to invite our worship team to come forward, if they would, please, and we'll close with a song that helps us express our determination to be used by him.